99. Are you in the clear?
Unit 99 to KMA 907. Unit 99, Sergeant Meredith, 909, in service, on the air. This is Sergeant Dan Meredith of Unit 99 at Headquarters, Police Department, City of Sacramento, California. My detail is to ride in Unit 99, our tape recorder-equipped radio car, and to respond whenever the dispatcher transmits a signal to one of our other units on duty somewhere in the city. At the scene, we make the recordings which we provide for this program. Now, to tell you more about Unit 99, here is our chief, James V. Hicks, Sacramento Police.
When Unit 99 takes off on the dispatcher's radio signal, everything which happens is real. What you hear, happen. This is the standing order to Sergeant Meredith, the officer in charge of Unit 99. Get it on the spot while it's going on. And as you listen, this is what Meredith does. Now, to Unit 99 and Sergeant Dan Meredith on duty.
Hello, Dan. Anything going?
Yeah, quite a bit. I suppose you heard we got one of those men who kidnapped the two officers in Jackson a few days ago.
How about the other one?
Well, he got away. But I think they're closing in on him. We're going to run a lineup on this one tonight. We may get his interrogation later. Mac Alexander will hold the setup.
Mac Alexander, what are you fellas preparing for now?
We're going to have a lineup. Dahl and Ford are out now bringing in a bunch of the victims of recent stick-ups in this area.
Committed by this fellow?
Believed to have been, and it'll be for the purpose of the victims looking through the lineup to see if they can pick out the suspect.
Will they be face-to-face with him?
No, they will have a chance to view this entire lineup without being seen. That way they have no fear in their mind of reprisals in case they do identify the suspect.
We have roadblocks in that whole general area. You can either enter the area and patrol it or anything west of the Gardenland Bridge down off of El Centro. Are you familiar with that area? Sheriff's Office, Moorsack PD. One of our cars is in pursuit of a tan station wagon. Subject is wearing a black shirt. He's just coming in by a cobblestone bar on Old Auburn Road into North Sacramento by way of El Camino. Will you cover it? That's Moorsack. Will you cover it?
Let's listen to this.
304, your location. Sheriff's car is 303. All right, they're still coming in at a speed of excess of 90 miles an hour. 372, your location.
What is this case all about? I mean, the fellow that you picked up, what is he in on?
He is one of the suspects in the kidnapping of the two deputy sheriffs in Amador County. Mm-hmm. And has been, the gun that was found on him has been identified as coming out of a stick-up here in Sacramento, and he answers very closely the description of one of the suspects of several other stick-ups in this area.
Uh-huh. The subject is decreased speed. They're coming in west on El Camino from Old Auburn Road. 372, if you get them stopped, stand off and you get a cover car. North Sac's covering the 303, KMA 907.
Now, this boy that you have apprehended, was he with anyone else?
Yes, there is another man at large. There's a large, extensive hunt going on right now for that man that we believe is his partner in these stick-ups. He is known to be in a certain area out here, and there's upwards of 50 officers in that area right now. Roadblocks and almost house-to-house search.
The sheriffs are in on it, too, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Sheriff's office, any car in the East District? That car has turned east on El Camino, headed back for Town and Country. East on El Camino from the Pioneer Club. 310, go ahead.
You know, this might be the guy we're looking for.
We've got no way of knowing. The subject driving is wearing a black shirt. They're not stopping in a speed of excess of 90 miles an hour. The chase has been. No other information. KMA 907. 372, your location now. You're on El Camino near the firehouse. Sheriff's car 303, he's got him stopped near the firehouse on El Camino. Will you cover it? 310, your location. 310, will you cover it? Just up above the Pioneer Club by the fire station. KMA 907. Negative, we have a car stopped with a subject dressed similar to Woosley. We got three units there now.
Better get over there.
I think Ford and Dahl went over.
Yeah, they're Ford and Dahl on the way over.
They're on East El Camino, just about three-quarters of a mile due east of the Pioneer Club or the old subway before you enter North Sac. Are you familiar with that?
Come on.
Carry on, O'Sullivan.
West El Camino.
Sheriff's office to all other cars. Remain in that garden land area. All other cars that weren't assigned to this chase on East El Camino. Remain in the garden land area. Carry on, O'Sullivan. Check 301, Kimmy 907. Sheriff's office, any car at the scene of East El Camino near the fire department. How does that prove out? 310, is that Woosley? All cars, that was not Woosley in that station wagon. Repeating, negative results. It was not Woosley. Kimmy 907.
Well, it sounded pretty good for a while. I thought they might have it. Let's look in on the lineup.
Lineup is taking place now. We have a victim here viewing the group standing in front through this peephole. There are seven suspects lined up. Detective Dahl is questioning one of the victims.
The only thing I could go on there in the way of identification is the black hair.
Black hair.
The bushy eyebrows, and I'm assuming that he has dark eyes. He doesn't appear to be old enough.
You wouldn't say for sure whether that was the man or not?
I'm afraid I couldn't say that he was, no.
Okay. Recognize any of us?
I had a mask on my face. The second one might, I imagine.
Well, that's right. On their job out there, they had handkerchiefs. Mm-hmm. Over the first.
Second one could, because he had real dark hair and dark eyes.
General description of that man, ma'am. Mm-hmm. But you can't make a positive identification.
I couldn't make a positive. I didn't see him with a handkerchief off.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Another victim is sizing up the lineup. Detective Ford is about to question the victim.
Now, the two on the left there could be the one guy.
The one.
You mean number two in the left? Number two man in the line?
Blue sweater.
It'd be number two. Number two could possibly be.
No, number two from the left end.
From the left end, yes. My left. He could possibly be the first one. And I think the one in the. That'd be one, two, three, four. Fourth from the left could be the one that was with me. I thought he was an older person. But,
did you,
What I'm looking for are the red cheeks, the red spots on his cheeks. I can't tell. I could see those rosy cheeks very plain above the handkerchief, and they don't look too rosy from here. That's the best thing I had to go on. I wouldn't have said he was quite that young, but the size is about right for both of those men.
How about the eyes or the expression in the eyes? Can you tell that from here?
No, I can't tell on either one of them. I can't tell by the eyes. No, I can't say definitely by the eyes, although that, I know that one that had the dark hair did have deep eyes like that one has, yeah. This one I can't tell at all by the eyes.
Well, that number four man, then, you're not positive, but he does look like the man that was with you.
He certainly does, yes, as much as I could see, which wasn't very much.
Anything come out of the lineup?
Well, it wasn't very conclusive, but Mac Alexander and Zine are talking with him now, and he's admitted two holdups. He and his two partners were picked up in Amador County after their car slid off the road, and they started hitchhiking. Let's go in and listen.
We walked near the side of the bar, started hitchhiking. I guess we'd been standing there about 10, 15 minutes when another patrol car pulled up with his Deputy Leach and the sheriff, whatever his name is, I forgot right now. He thought our number one man, his friend of mine, was a burglar suspect. He was mistaken, but it's just one of those things that happened. If we were armed, we couldn't afford it, to be taken in. But he shook us down, and he didn't find a gun. So we figured it was odd if he took us into Jackson.
Where did you have your gun?
I had it down in my belt line.
How about you? How about your partner?
It was on his belt line too.
And you had coats on?
Yes, I had a top coat and a suit coat, slacks. And so he said he'd take us on into Jackson. It was okay. So we got in the patrol car. He took us into Jackson there. But he didn't let us out. He took us right to the police station. And they come in there. There was these other two patrolmen with him. And
that made how many officers in there then?
That made four officers altogether. And what'd you say his name was?
Sheriff McFall.
Sheriff McFall asked me to stand up there. And he'd shake me down. He wanted me to take off my coat. So I knew if they saw my gun, it was all right. My buddy had pulled his gun on him and just tell him to hold it. So I went up and took the chance to see the gun or not. I started taking off my coat and they saw the gun. So number one, me and my friend, he took his gun out and told him not to move. So I got my gun. We lined them all up in the corner over there against the wall. And had them handcuff one another and took their gun. And we got ready to go. This friend of mine says, let's take two of these two deputies that brought us in now. For protection as hostages, because they'll come after us in a minute, and if we don't take them with us, we're sunk. So I told him, no, we won't take them, you know, just leave them here. I said, that's under the little Lemberg law, kidnapping, and it's a death sentence. And he said, well, I'll kill them all right now if that's the way you want it. And I told him, no, man, skip it. If we got to do anything, we'll take them with us. So we took those two with us.
Do you think your friend would have killed them right there?
I'm almost positive of it. I'm pretty sure. He was shaking up a little bit and a little excited. I think he might have killed him. It was possible. So we got out in the patrol car, and our chauffeur had already started it for us. And he was outside, and my number one, my friend, number one man, he walked outside ahead of these people, these two deputies, and I walked behind him. We put them in the car. Deputy Leach in the back, and Sheriff McFall in the front between number one and number three man.
And the officers were handcuffed at this time.
They were handcuffed at this time. All except Leach. We didn't handcuff Deputy Leach. It wasn't necessary. Number two man, me, that is. I stayed back in the back with him. And we got out somewhere out of town a little ways, and this Leach deputy said to me, he said, this old man up here's got a weak heart. He's an old man, about 60, 65. He asked us if we'd put him out somewhere. So I says, it's all right, I guess, with me, but I haven't asked the other guys. And we were whispering in the back seat. You know, these old men can't hear us. He said it hurt the old man's feelings. Anyway, this Leach asked me if I'd put the old man out of the car. And I said, I guess so. So I told the driver, number three man, if he'd turn on the red light on the first car that we pulled up behind. We're moving along pretty fast now, you know, on the highway. And we see a car in front of us, a Plymouth, I think it is, about a 47 Plymouth. And he turns on the red light and pulls it over. Number one man gets out of the car because he's on the outside there. And while number three man pulls the gun on the sheriff, so he can't move, the old man. And we handcuffed the old man there just before we pulled his car over. We put the old man in the Plymouth and told him to take him to Sacramento. We all got back in the car and took off. Leach had been telling us there were going to be roadblocks up, and we thought there might be roadblocks up. You know, get flown ahead. And was getting close to this little town called Ione. There's a Preston School of Industries there in that town. I'd been there once already. And a lot of the people, the citizens there, will get out and chase any of the people that, you know, the boys there, they'll cut out. So I figured they'll chase them and they'll chase us, and it'll just be too hot on us, you know. So we saw this red lights down there and these cars down below at a crossroads. Well, number one man and me, we jumped out of the car there. We had the driver stop the car, and we'd leaped out, and we told him to stop right there for a moment while we ran ahead. And we had a shotgun with us this time, a riot gun, and these three pistols.
Where did you get that shotgun?
Out of the police car. And my friend of mine, he had a Magnum, a 357 Magnum, and I had a 38, 238s. And went up there to where the roadblock was supposed to be, but he drove ahead immediately, and we was going to cover him going through the roadblock. In case anyone started after him, we'd just flatten every car around it, you know, where they couldn't go. And then cover him that way, and he could park up the road for us. But he didn't do that. He went up a little ways and started backing up again. And then Sheriff Leach overpowered him. Guess that's what happened in the papers. So the car took off immediately after that. And it just went right straight ahead. So we took off across the field. We walked all the way to Mather Field. We got a ride with some soldiers. We told them we'd pay them to take us off the base. And we told them we'd just like to, we got lost, we was hunters. And we'd wrecked our car up the road a little ways. So we went on through the gate and he took us to a crossroads out there, fairly close to this farmhouse, and let us out. That's where we asked him to let us out. I paid the man his money and went to this farmhouse. We made a phone call to this friend of mine's brother. He asked the brother to come and get us at this farmhouse because there's no way to get out there. It's quite a ways into Sacramento. And he came out in his car, came and got us, and took us to a Carl's drive-in. After his brother left us off there at North Sacramento, we phoned another friend and had him take us to this apartment house where this friend of mine lived. No one knew where he lived. Excuse me a minute. No one knew where he lived, so we figured it was fairly safe that night there in that place. We stayed there at night, but we'd locked the bedroom door there, and he was staying with some more friends of his there. There was a husband and a wife that lived there.
Where was this?
This is out in Sacramento area here somewhere. I can't tell you exactly where it is because he hasn't caught you. But it's in town here. I don't think he's in town right now, but that's where we stayed. The next morning, we got up before these two people that he stayed with knew we were there. And went out to this other friend of ours' place. And that's where we've been going night after night until we stayed over here in a circle of projects with a friend over here. And we stayed there all night, him and his wife. He took his wife to work that morning. And he came back and he says, I'm going to go get some gas, you know. He asked if he could go get some gas. And I told him, sure, go ahead. He said, well, he didn't have any money, so I gave him some money to go get some gas. He went and got the gas, but he didn't come back. And about 2 minutes later, after he left to get the gas, patrol cars started coming in the area. And we watched them come by, and just strings of them there, just one after the other, and black Fords and things, but no insignia on the side. And it was just three and four men in every car, and that's kind of odd to be coming through a housing project like that, so we thought something was up. And then there was some kids out there playing, 100 kids, I guess, playing out there around the area in there. And the kids slowly was disappearing. You know, they went out there anymore. So we knew that they'd surrounded us somehow. They must have surrounded us and moved all the kids out. So I told this friend of mine, I says, I'm going to go out the back door, and I'm going up on a levee. I says, you be there in 10 minutes if you can make it. I says, if I don't make it, I says, head out the front door. You know, if you see them start chasing me, well, that'll draw the heat off you, and you can go out the front door. So I went out the back door, and I made it to the levee all right. And I waited about 15 minutes, and I kept looking over the levee, and no one came. And then all of a sudden, this patrol car started driving up there in the levee. So this patrol car drove up there, and two policemen got out of the car. Came up there and started questioning those winos, and I was, I guess, about all of 50 feet from them, down below a little drop-off next to the river there, right next to the water's edge. And I moved up the bank, up towards them, where I could watch one side of the thing where I thought they were, one side of the levee road there. And if they came up to me, you know, I'd let them go by me and step out behind them, you know, and I'd get the drop on them and put them down around a tree or handcuff them where I could, you know, go on. But it didn't happen that way. I had my back, you know, facing one way, watching this one area. And this one cop moved in this one area where I could see him, but the other one came up behind me and saw soft sand out there. You can't hear anything.
Well, at this time, did you have the gun in your hand?
I had had it in my hand till I saw this one policeman going the other direction. Then I put it back in my shoulder holster, and I didn't think I was going to need it. So I shoved it back in my shoulder holster. Just as I shoved it in there, this other policeman, I guess he was about 20 feet behind me then, looking right straight down on me, he says, don't move or I'll blow your brains out. So I didn't move. So when he said that, I couldn't see the man. If I'd have seen him, I'd have tried to make a fight of it probably, but I couldn't see him, so I had no choice but just to put my hands behind my head and stand up, which I did. Anyway, they put me in a patrol car and took me down here to this police station. And that's it. Here I am.
Where is your partner now?
He was about 100 yards on the other side of the levee in a house, watching it all. And now...
Where do you think he might go?
Well, he could go to a number of places, Gardenland or Del Paso Heights, friends of ours.
Can you give us the addresses?
No, I can't.
You know their names?
No.
In other words, you don't want to tell us where he might go.
That's right. I can't hardly tell you. I mean, he's not caught yet.
Now, of course, you know that we know who your partner is. He's been identified from the kidnappings up there of those sheriffs. And we're mainly interested in now in picking him up before he kills somebody or before he gets in a big gun battle and gets killed himself. Now, if you could tell us where we might pick him up, we have our ways of trying to do it without any trouble. And do you want to tell us where we can find him?
Well, yes and no. I mean, you people have your ways of picking him up, and you may not get hurt, but you look at it from my viewpoint. That boy's got a .357 Magnum in his hand. You know what they are. And he knows I got to get out one of these days. And that gun, he might shoot me with it. And it put a hole big enough in you to crawl through. So I can't hardly tell you.
Are you convinced that he will shoot it out if we try to pick him up?
I just think he might, unless you catch him by surprise.
Has he made those brags?
Well, I don't think he's bragged about it. He just, just plain stated, he's cold-blooded.
Now, did you and your partners have some kind of a vow that if you were cornered, you would shoot it out?
Yes, I think we had mentioned that before. I think it was one of those patrolmen, one of those officers before. I think number one man, this made friend of mine, he said to him, this is my last time. I haven't got anything to lose, so don't try to corner me. And that went for me, too. You see?
As you rode with Unit 99 tonight, you shared some moments of tension with your police department. The manhunt for the young kidnappers was one of the most intensive in years and involved virtually every division of the city department, as well as the sheriff's office. The chase for the sheriff's car proved out negative, insofar as the kidnapper was concerned. It was a 16-year-old boy who had been warned by his father not to get into trouble with a family car, so he tried to run away from trouble at 90 miles an hour. As for the kidnapper, who was in custody at the time, the lineup did not conclusively tie him in with the holdups. A man with a handkerchief over his face and pointing a gun is hard to identify. But the suspect saved us trouble by making a full confession of the holdups, as well as the kidnapping of the two officers in Jackson. He was sentenced in Amador County.
This is Unit 99 in Sacramento, California. These on-the-scene tape recordings were provided by the Sacramento Police Department and were made on duty by Sergeant Dan Meredith in Unit 99. Your host is Chief James V. Hicks of the Sacramento Police Department. Unit 99 was directed by Tony Kester and came to you from Sacramento.
To Unit 99 to KMA 907. Unit 99, 908 coming in. End of tour.
Check 99, KMA 907.
Unit 99 has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.